What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. My heart sings. Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy, as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. My heart sings. Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart.
Oh, 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 oh. Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the load of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord. And then if dangers threaten, if storms of pride, you'll burst above my head. If flashing sin leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make my heart afraid. With me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of thy abiding presence where I am to feel that thou art near. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I must weep amid the fires of pain, and when shall come the hour of my departure, for worlds unknown, O Lord, be with me there.
The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
On behalf of Marilyn and the family, I would like to thank you for your presence. Your presence here today speaks louder than anything I will say or anyone else will say in terms of comforting Marilyn and the family. Vernon Martin McClurg passed away peacefully in his home Wednesday, June 6, 2012. He was born in Des Moines on July 31, 1925, the youngest child of Arthur and Charlotte McClurg. He graduated from East High School and proudly enlisted in the United States Marine Corps at the age of 18, serving in the South Pacific throughout World War II, and participated in multiple invasions. Following the war, Vernon returned home to begin a career in sheet metal fabrication and architectural drafting. Working on projects in central Iowa and across the country for the next 35 years. But most importantly, while roller skating with friends, he met his beloved wife of 65 years, Marilyn. and his life would never be the same. If I can just interject for a minute, when I first read that, I thought of this couple right over here. Carol and Betty met at a roller skate rink also. Must have been quite a skating rink. Vernon and Marilyn lived and raised their three children, Mark, Brian, and Lisa, in the central Iowa area. They were further blessed with grandchildren over the years, Corey, Lindsay, Emily, Jill, Aubrey, Nathan. Vernon loved and was very proud of every member of the family, including his good friend Lexi. More on Lexi later. Later in life, Vernon owned and operated Cascade Car Wash for 20 years and regularly solved many of the world's pressing problems while drinking coffee with friends at home. At the age of 78, Vernon McClurg was baptized into Christ, and he was a member of the Pleasant Hill Church of Christ for the rest of his life. His faith, his loving and generous nature, and his strength throughout difficult health challenges were an inspiration to his family and to his wife. Many of us had the privilege of watching Vernon come to church many times when no one would have criticized him for not being here. But he was. He was preceded in death by his parents, brother Frank, sisters Jesse Rudy and Lucilla Fosdick, and a twin sister Vera. He was survived by all members of his immediate family. We come today to honor the memory of Vernon, a good man who became a godly man, making today so much more joyous for all. Would you bow with me in prayer? Dear Lord, we come to you today thankful that you have allowed Vernon's life to intersect ours. Those who had the privilege of knowing this man and spending time with him couldn't leave better for the experience. We ask you to be with the family. Help them in this time. He's left them with great hope as to where he is, but the passing of a loved one is still a difficult time. We ask you to be with them, not simply today, not simply this week, but in the coming months when the quietness, the familiarity become a little more missed. But most of all, we thank you for your son, who gave us victory over death. We'll just take it. Thank you for Vernon. Thank you for his family. And thank you for letting us share part of our lives with him. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I awake, I am still with thee. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
How do you capture a man's life in a few minutes? The answer is you don't. You just pick some of the things that we cherish the most to remember. There's no gathering that tugs at the heartstrings more than a memorial service. Something about being left behind that stirs our emotions in ways we can't fully grasp until we walk in those shoes. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we pass from life to afterlife, from the temporal to the eternal, leaving friends, family, neighbors, left behind indeed. And for some, the aftermath can be crushing. For the children of God, it brings and holds great anticipation. I'd like to share with you some things about Vernon's life that the family shared with me. Some of them I didn't know, and I'm so happy to have learned them. In the obituary, it read that he joined the Marines when he was 18. Well, simple math tells you he joined them just as soon as he got out of school. That alone tells me a lot about Vernon. But I was thinking last night, I think it was Tom Brokaw who wrote about the great or greatest generation. I believe Vernon was part of that generation. And each day there are fewer and fewer of those. Born in 1925 as a child, he could probably remember well the Depression. Certainly he remembered World War II. He will be buried with full military honors, which when I tell you this next part, you'll not question a bit. When he was in the service in World War II in the South Pacific, Vernon was wounded, and he was qualified to receive the Purple Heart. Vernon McClurg decided not to accept the Purple Heart. The reason wasn't a lack of patriotism. Had he accepted the Purple Heart, his mother would have been notified that he had been wounded. He didn't want her to worry about him while he was away. Vernon never initiated discussions of the war. And that's very common for people that have been in battle. He never talked to me about it. Maybe he talked to some of you about it, but I bet you had to initiate the conversation. Because it leaves a person changed forever. On a lighter note, but not less serious, Vernon was a dog lover. A young boy, he had a dog named Towser. He worked part-time at the neighborhood grocery, and the dog would ride in his bicycle basket to work and stay at the bicycle till after work and ride home with Vernon after work. He lay beside his side, never leaving. Later in life, he bought a Samoyed puppy. Had that dog many years and loved that dog. Often talked about replacing it. If I understand the story right, Vernon had a car that, shall we say, leaked a little bit. As it was portrayed to me, the family kidded him about it was not only an internal combustion car, it had the potential for being an external potential combustion car. The family bought him a replacement puppy. Vernon came home, parked the car, they put the puppy in the front seat, ran in the house and told Vernon his car was on fire. He ran out only to find that puppy in the front seat. And to say that he was delighted would be a great understatement. 3 years ago, he got his last puppy, a little terrier named Lexi. She was his constant companion with Marilyn. Vernon was able to die in his home with his family, and last but not least, with Lexi. Later in life, and some of us remember this, he ran or owned a coin-operated car wash and took great pride in serving his clients and his customers. But he was a very particular man, and sometimes in a car wash, and I guess in the change places, you'd get crumpled up dollar bills of all different distortions. He would iron them out, literally, iron them out before he deposited them in the bank. Hours to make his deposit pretty. Not always big, but pretty. He did that for 20 years. The most important thing the family shared with me, and I did not know this until Thursday when they sent me an email. Following his niece's Pat's memorial service, Vernon remarked to his family very sincerely how he wanted his funeral service conducted and who he wanted to conduct it. The family told him, "It would be unfair to ask me to officiate it without giving me some ammunition." I wasn't sure what that meant till I read a little further. They said, and I quote, "You've got to give John something to work with. Something to say good about your spiritual condition." Approximately 6 months after the conversation he had with his family regarding that, Vernon McClurg was baptized into the Lord. Outstanding. And he sure gave me plenty of ammunition. He spent the rest of his life religiously serving. Many of us didn't know him until the latter years of his life. The last few years, I would see them come into here in various church functions, and Marilyn would literally have to lead Vernon in because of his eyesight. I thought, they were married 65 years. Marilyn led him spiritually for 60 of those years, and literally for the last few. But she's the epitome of what Peter writes about in 1 Peter chapter 3. Transformed life. As I said earlier, I think Vernon McClurg was always a good man. I'm just glad he dropped an O and became a godly man. On a last personal observation, Marty, who had the reading just before I got up here, his son-in-law, not the easiest job in the world, said in the 22 years of marriage that he had had with Lisa, he cannot remember a father speaking a harsh word to him. And I suspect that's difficult. I don't know. I don't have daughters, but to turn your only daughter over to anybody would be hard. I always remember that saying, someone said, turning your daughter over to someone's like turning a Stradivarius over to a gorilla. Marty's not that. But to have that kind of relationship just, to me, speaks so voluminous about Vernon. My personal recollections of Vern are shorter than many of yours. They go back 15, 20 years. But they are ones that I will always treasure. And each one of you have your own recollections that you will treasure. When I think of Vernon, I think of the passage in the Bible about the laborer who came in the 11th hour and yet received the same reward for those that have been there all their lives. He was committed once he made the decision. His attendance was a great inspiration to me, and I know to you. I don't know that Vernon ever stood where I'm standing right now, but I know Vernon spoke sermons to many of us when we saw him come in, when his health would probably indicate otherwise. I always knew where I would be Thursday at noon, when I was in Pleasant Hill. I would be at Vernon, Maryland. Lisa would come over. We'd have a wonderful lunch, and then we'd play a game. Dominoes, golf, card game later when his eyesight suffered. Vernon and I were always gracious, allowing Marilyn and Lisa to win so they wouldn't be disappointed. Maybe, for my taste, we were a little too gracious. But those are cherished times. Cherished memories. I remember the first time I went over there, and he wasn't yet a member of the church, so I was not apprehensive, but you don't know. What's he thinking? Okay, my wife's invited the preacher over, so here comes sermon number 7. Not a hint of that. There was no sermon number 7, but just treated me so graciously as a friend. Felt like I had known him all my life, even after only a few minutes. That was Vernon. Now we have the great hope. And we can understand that death is not extinguished, does not extinguish the light from a Christian. It's simply the putting out of the lamp because the dawn has come. I always wonder, what is Vernon experiencing right now? When we die, we leave behind us all we have, but we take with us all we are. And I believe Vernon was able to take much with him. Solomon, writing in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, talks about how our day of our death is better than the day of our birth. Kind of a curious statement. But as I reflect more and more on it, for me, funerals become a gift. Not necessarily something I long for, but at the same time a gift. Because it's the time for those of us left behind that if we're ever going to think seriously about the brevity of life and the future of eternity, this is the moment. At a funeral, if the gospel of Christ is not true, then there are a few reasons to be happy. The effect of death is profound, and I thank God for that and for all those whose dying have taught us so much. It's death that keeps our minds and hearts awake to the reality and certainty of our death, my death, my wife's death, your death, Vernon's death. Yes, it does terminate some things we know and that we enjoy. It does, for a moment, separate us from those that we love. For many, it's a terrible entrance into a door of judgment. But Hebrews tells us that Christ took the fear out of death. And I believe Vernon was able to approach his moment absent of that fear. Looked at the joy of going home and being with his family in his home for many years. The Lord blessed him by simply going to sleep not waking up. There is no true freedom where happiness depends upon denying the inevitable. That's only slavery in a many, many masks of fun and busyness. Therefore, I think we can count funerals and death somewhat as a gift, as it keeps our hearts and our minds awake to reality. It was C.S. Lewis who wrote, "I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find till after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life, to press on to that other country and help others do the same." Vernon obviously had a great love for his country here, and he sacrificed much for it. But we have the hope that he's now truly in his home. It was Carl Sandburg in his biography of Abraham Lincoln who said, "A tree is best measured when it's down." Vernon was a man of reasonable, if not somewhat larger stature, larger than some of us. His body is laying in front of me, in front of us right now, but I think I can truly say he has never stood taller than he stands today because of what he has left us. To the family, Vernon would say, "Be of good cheer. Remember what I've tried to teach you. Thank you for your patience. It took me a while to get there, but we made it." To the rest, he might be a little embarrassed that you've taken time out of your day. I don't know. But he's left us with great wonder, with a great benefit. Last Wednesday morning, Vernon fell asleep. And when he did, the greatest arms in the universe slipped under him and gently lifted him up and carried him to a place that is safe and secure, a place that will be his own forever. And Jesus has made that promise to all of us. We all suffer from the same disease. It's called mortality. Every second, three people die. In the time we're together here, several thousand will die. Most of them we don't know. This one we did. And it touches us greatly. John Owen, a Puritan, was once asked how he was doing. He said, "Well, I'm still in the land of the living." And then he stopped. And he went back to that person and he said, "No, that's wrong." He said, "I'm in the land of the dying. Someday, I'll be in the land of the living." Wednesday morning, Vernon went from the land of the dying, where we are all, to the land of the living, where we hope to be. Should you go first and I remain to walk the road alone, I'll live in memory's garden, dear, with happy days we've known. In spring I'll wait for roses red, when fades the lilac's blue. In early fall, when brown leaves call, I'll catch a glimpse of you. Should you go first and I remain for battles to be fought, each thing you've touched along the way will be a hallowed spot. I'll hear your voice, I'll see your smile, though blindly I may grope. The memory of your helping hand will buoy me on with hope. Should you go first, and I remain to finish with the scroll. No lengthening shadows shall creep in to make this life seem droll. We've known so much happiness. We've had our cup of joy. And memory is one gift of God that death cannot destroy. Should you go first and I remain, one thing I'll have you do. Walk slowly down that long, long path, for soon I'll follow you. I'll want to know each step you take, that I may walk the same, or someday down that lonely road, you'll hear me call your name. Vernon, walk slow, because we're going to catch up with you for eternity. The song that has been selected to be sung next was Vern's favorite song. It's number 202 in the Blue Book. It's a good one. I didn't know it was his favorite till just recently. When they would have a singing session here at Pleasant Hill Church, he would do everything he could to get it suggested. He'd twist Marilyn's arm to see if she'd ask for it, and if she wouldn't, he'd get Steve Thompson or somebody to ask for it. But Marilyn shared with me something just before we came down here. She said every time Vernon heard that song, he cried. I don't know if Vern can hear us right now. I do know that the Lord says he'll wipe away every tear. But this song was chosen, and we will now sing it in honor and memory of him. A man who took 78 years to understand how important it is to know Jesus.
Have you a heart that's willing, tending a love of care? Are you a soul that's sinking? Do you know? Who bears this time? You. arise. Did you not, my Jesus? Did you not, my friend? Have you found him, my
and
well,
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. This next song last song that we're going to be listening to is When We See Christ. It's a very special song to not only this congregation, but to this family. It was my great-grandma B, and that'd be Marilyn's mother, her favorite song. And in fact, I don't know how many people know this, but she didn't want us to lead it in the congregation until after her funeral, so she wanted to be at her funeral for the first time. But we've got to lead it a lot since then. And the cousins recorded it, maybe 17 years ago, and recorded it for her funeral, and it's going to be played again at this time. And Martin McClurg wanted to point out how good they sounded 17 years ago. They will be signing autographs in the basement after the service.
Tears forever.
Come to the end of this memorial service. A couple of announcements before we have a concluding prayer. We'll be in interment at the Warren Powers Cemetery just a few minutes from here, immediately following this service. All are invited to go with us to that. We will then come back here for a luncheon with the family, and it'll give you a chance to visit with them and fellowship with them and renew ties and express your thoughts. And again, everybody is invited for that. We're projecting that to be at about 1, give or take a few minutes. But I think that'll work out just about right. Again, on the behalf of the family, thank you for being here. All of the words of the songs and whatever I might have said pales to your wanting to show this man how you felt. Would you bow with me in a closing prayer? Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for family, for friends, for brothers and sisters in the Lord. Life without them would be an existence, but not a life. We now are especially thankful for Vernon and his life and how he touched each of us. For Marilyn and her devotion to him, her devotion to the Lord. Transferred in some way to him and the children. We ask you to be with us, care for us. Let us never forget Vernon. Let us also go on with our lives. And if Vernon can hear me now, it's our prayer, Vernon, that we'll see you soon. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
With you as my shepherd, I never have need. Down paths of righteousness, you always lead. Now as I go through the valley of shadows, dear Lord, take my hand one last time, and I will follow. Oh, my Lord, I'm so ready to leave this world, so take my hand and lead me on home, where I will sing with the angels, where I will walk by still waters, where I will rest in green pastures, where I will dwell with you forever, where I will sing with the angels, where I will walk by still waters, where I will rest in green pastures, where I will dwell with you forever. Oh, my Lord, I'm so ready to leave this world, so take my hand and lead me on home. Now as I walk through the valley, I have no more fears, for you always comfort me and dry all my tears. All the days of my life, love and goodness you gave, and I will dwell in your house forever with you. Oh, my Lord, I'm so ready to leave this world, so take my hand and lead me on home, where I will sing with the angels, where I will walk by still waters, where I will rest in green pastures, where I will dwell with you forever, where I will sing with the angels, where I will walk by still waters, where I will rest in green pastures, where I will dwell with you forever. Oh, my Lord, I'm so ready to leave this world, so take